of Extinction Rebellion at rebellion.earth. Look for the podcast episode 5, Regenerative Culture, Joanna Macy.
You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Look at the newest programs or the podcast page.
My name is Maria Gelardin. Thank you for listening.
And thank you for listening to WEFT Champaign, 90.1 on your FM dial and streaming live at weft.org. Time of Useful Consciousness airs every Thursday at 5 p.m. on WEFT Community Radio, followed by See You at the Show, which is coming up next. And as I mentioned a bit earlier, tonight's See You at the Show is going to be an encore edition. Eric's unable to be here this evening, but we're going to do a rebroadcast of last week's show. So after that, Surfer Billy Freakout will be on at 6, and that's going to be a really cool rebroadcast of 5, 6, 7, 8s that were here in studio this past Saturday. So we hope you'll stick around for that. And then we'll have some freeform music. Oh, actually, no, at 7 o'clock, Brian Teague, who's the host of Get In Your Jammies, will be presenting a very special hour of programming with special guest John Hawkwood's Blackfoot Sun, the St. Louis-based alt-rock dream pop group inspired by the works of acts such as Lou Reed, Iggy Pop, The Stooges, and David Bowie. And they'll be including music from their debut album, Wizard of the Oz, as well as an interview and live performance in the studio. So lots of really cool stuff happening during Pledge Drive. We've got that show tonight with John Hawkwood. As I mentioned, we had the 5, 6, 7, 8s in studio on Saturday. We had a whole bunch of people perform live at WEFFest. Annika Emily, the Brad Wheeler Group, Big Mo, and part of the Fat Groove. And closing out the show was New Souls. So, you know, nowhere but WEFT are you going to get the kind of local music, local information that you get on the air, on the radio, in the Champaign-Urbana area. We are your community radio station. We're in our fall pledge drive. I would like to let you know that we do have a bunch of community partners that help us to sustain the station. One of them is Minuteman Press. So I'd like to let you know that programming at WEFT is brought to you in part by Minuteman Press. For a few special invitations printed or thousands of full-color flyers, Minuteman Press can help get it done on time and in budget. They offer an extensive line of products as well as design services. Their phone number is 217-355-0550. They're located at 905 South Neal Street in Champaign, or you may find them online at www.champaignprinting.com. And then, as I was mentioning, we're in our fall pledge drive. Here at WEFT Radio, the programs you hear are selected by a committee, not just by one person. And the songs you hear on WEFT are all chosen by the individual air shifter that you hear present them. Providers like WEFT are few and far between. So please consider getting radio active and help support your local media resource by donating to WEFT during our fundraising drive. You can go online, weft.org, and click on Support WEFT. Or once I'm off mic, feel free to give me a call at the station at 217-359-9338. WEFT, continuing 38 years of locally based community radio. Okay, and now without any further ado, we'll get to this week's encore edition of See You at the Show. Thanks for listening to WEFT Champaign.
Welcome to See You at the Show. This is Eric Schock, joined by LaDonna Wilson, to bring you another episode of all things happening in the theater world in Champaign-Urbana. We have Jackie Lowenstein with us today from CUTC's Penguin Project, and we will be talking with her. First, let's get to some announcements. We've got some auditions happening. Station Theater is going to be auditioning for It's a Wonderful Life live at the Station Theater, directed by the great Ed Pierce. you're interested in auditioning for this play, please go to the Station Theater Saturday, September 7th, between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. There's a sign-up link available at stationtheater.com to give you an audition slot and information about what you need to do. This is not It's a Wonderful Life. This is It's a Wonderful Life live at the Station Theater, which is a really cool twist on the performance of A Wonderful Life in a 1946 radio show kind of setting. So a very cool opportunity to get involved. And speaking of the Station Theater, if you know somebody or are yourself interested in becoming a board member and giving back to the community theater world that way, please shoot me an email at eric@seeyouattheshow.com or just through our Facebook page. We also have some openings remaining for the Twin City Theater Company's production of Edgar Allan Poe's The Fall of the House of Usher, being directed by Aaron Polk. The two remaining roles are Madeline Usher, 30-ish-year-old woman suffering from catalepsy and terminal boredom. We need somebody who can move well. And then also Edgar, 30-year-old or older, Roderick Usher's oldest friend. So it's a great opportunity to get involved. All right, let's cut to our interview with Jackie Lowenstein talking about the Penguin Project, brought to you by CUT. This is See You at the Show. It's Eric Schacht with LaDonna Wilson. We are taking our show on the road. We're at the Sinai Temple, where we are checking in with Jackie Lowenstein and CUTC, who are hard at work on the Penguin Project's production of Frozen Junior. Welcome, Jackie.
Thank you.
Well, I was lucky enough to actually to get to see some of this rehearsal today. And I know this is not your first year doing the Penguin Project, right?
Correct. I've been involved all 4 years.
And so what about the Penguin Project speaks to you?
Oh, wow. I've been doing theater my whole life, and when Kelly Nolan decided to bring the Penguin Project to Champaign, and she's the executive director of CUTC, she must have asked if I wanted to be involved. And I know at first I was probably thinking it's a little outside of my wheelhouse, because I don't have any experience specifically working with children who have disabilities. I've been working with children and adults always, but I decided I could choreograph at that point. I thought, okay, I'll start there. And we did Aladdin Junior the first year. And, you know, I find that there are certain skills that are helpful to have, but they're just people, they're just kids who want to have a good time, and most of them are doing theater for the first time, at least they were at that point. Mm-hmm. And it was the most meaningful theater experience I think I had ever had. You know, by the end of that, I felt like gave me a way of looking at theater that was never something that was in my experience before, and what theater can do for this community of kids who have special needs, who have all kinds of disabilities, but it gives them so much joy. So I was hooked.
Well, and you have worked with kids in theater for so long. One of the things I noticed is, like, your joy is infectious to them, right? And the kids themselves love watching each other perform, and they love watching their mentors, because that's really what it is about, is, like, the artists are the kids with the disabilities, right?
Yes.
Or the challenges. And then they each have a mentor, which is a high school, or that looks like some have graduated,
school.
Some middle school kids, mm-hmm. who help them along in their part. So mm-hmm. can you explain how that buddy process works?
Yeah, sure. So we have 32 artists, is what we call them, or actors. So they're the ones who have the roles. They are featured, they have the lines, they have the solos, they have the named roles. And then it takes us several weeks at the beginning to pair them up, unless they're returning kids who've worked well together before. But we pair everybody up with a mentor, and they do everything together. So the mentors, if you have never seen a Penguin Project, hopefully you'll come see it, but the mentors shadow them, and sometimes they're just performing with them as part of the ensemble. So for the lead characters, it's more of a shadow, and they're supposed to learn all of their lines and everything so that they can help mm-hmm. cue them if they get lost for a sec. They usually don't.
It's a couple weeks out,
yeah.
And it seemed like the Elsas and the Annas really knew most of their lines I'm blocking today,
yes.
and every other line in the show, by
right.
the way, right?
Right.
Which is the nice thing about Disney is there's a little bit of that inherent, at least you know the storyline, right, for them.
Definitely. But the mentors, a lot of them are actors and performers themselves, and the coolest thing about this project is that they have to take a backseat. They have to just be there to be a friend and support their artist. And then the kids who don't usually get the spotlight are the ones who get the spotlight. So it's just kind of flipping what everybody's used to.
Well, last year with High School Musical was the first Penguin Project that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such an interesting experience for me, because I didn't notice the mentors after maybe 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I really, every memory that I have of, which, and it was just a wonderful show, by the way, and it was interesting to see it, because I had just seen a really good production of the show at Franklin, and so I thought it, and so I thought it like held up. Uh-huh. And I thought that the lead, and I was really also, it was neat that the lead, Gabriella, went on and she was actually in the show at Franklin last uh-huh. summer. So, and I don't know if the Penguin Project is what gave her then the experience and the confidence to say that I'm not limited to special shows.
Sure, we've had a number of kids who have done Penguin Project and then gone on into their middle school and high school productions, and they do just fine. You know, it depends on the kid, but most of them can function without a mentor. It's just kind of a nice bonus to have someone who's your buddy and going through the experience with you. And certainly when it comes time to do costume changes and navigate the Urbana High School Theater where we'll be doing this, then it becomes a little bit more important to have someone who makes sure that you can get your costume changes done and get back on stage at the right time and all of that.
And I noticed your choreographer this year is Courtney.
Yes.
And she does work with special needs students at Centennial. Has that changed the dynamic, having somebody who's like training, is it with this population of students?
I was so excited to learn that she existed this year. She's our choreographer, Courtney Davies, and she knows a lot of the kids. They've been her students at Centennial, a handful of them, but that's great. She has a little bit more insights onto their own personalities and what might help them in certain situations. And I think in general, she's been able to give our mentors some good advice when they're having any kind of little challenges that they don't know how to deal with. And she's a dancer and has been dancing her whole life. So she said this is kind of her dream. She always wanted to have a dance studio for kids with special needs.
Oh, wow.
So this is pretty close.
That works really well. I know she had helped with the dance team at Centennial in the past, so this is probably melding all of her worlds together, right?
Yeah,
so that's
yeah.
really great.
So is finding 32 mentors a challenge?
This year it wasn't. You know, in past years, we sometimes had to put out an extra call, but this year we had more mentor applications than we needed, and actually we couldn't take all of the mentors and we couldn't take all of the artists. So it's becoming a competitive program in a way.
So you had auditions?
We didn't have auditions,
okay.
No. There's an application, and we have them come to an informational meeting, usually in early May, where we meet them, make sure that everybody knows what the program's about, and we teach them Don't Stop Believin', which is the National Penguin Project closing dance. So this is a project that's all over the country. It was started in Peoria. So we teach them that dance. That's what we do at the end of every single rehearsal. A little song and dance to Don't Stop Believin', and they love it.
Oh, so much. They were so enjoying it today. They were, it was the end of it, and you'd think they'd be sad, but they were so excited to be dancing that song, and they get to twirl around their mentor, and some of them were twirling their mentors at breakneck speed, so they were so excited to be getting that time with their mentor, too.
Yeah. So at that informational meeting, we teach them that, and that's the closest thing we have to an audition. We get a chance to see how they do following along with movements, and you know, sometimes we can tell if someone might not be quite ready for the program yet. This year we opened it up to artists who were as young as 10, but in the end we didn't take any who were 10, and we had to we couldn't accept a few who were 11, 12, you know, who are on the younger end of the age range, which is, there will always be next mm-hmm. year and the year after.
Well, it's kind of the curse of the success of the program, I guess, that you're
yes.
put in that situation. So it certainly speaks a lot to the impact that you're making with the increased popularity.
And
really,
such a great outreach for CUTC to be going into the community and reaching artists that might not be in their shows normally. So.
Absolutely. And of course, the show Frozen doesn't hurt. We're the first group to do this mm-hmm. production. It was just released in January, and we immediately thought, okay, mm-hmm. everyone will love it. And they do.
And Frozen 2 will be coming out really close to this time, right?
November,
do you know?
Or so.
Yeah. So you're going to get everybody primed and ready for
Absolutely.
The sequel. Because everybody rewatches the movie before the sequel comes out, and now they won't have to because they will have gone to Urbana High School.
Right. I had to tell the kids from the beginning that there's no, the big marshmallow snow monster that's in the movie is not in the stage version. So you know, there are some people who came to our informational meeting saying they wanted to be the snow monster, and I had to break it to them, we don't have that role. Some things just work better in animation.
And Deborah Dobbs is the music?
Deborah Myers,
yes, sorry. Deborah, and she was saying that Frozen is actually more challenging than some of the other junior shows. Like,
mm-hmm.
the music is harder. It's kind of up to its game, even in the junior
realm. Well, because they expanded the movie so much for the Broadway production, and then they had to turn around and simplify it for the junior version. But there is some ensemble singing that has been added in order to make more for the ensemble to do, because honestly, there is no ensemble in the original movie.
Mm. Have you seen the Broadway version?
I have, yes. I saw the very last preview before it opened.
In New York?
Yes.
Oh, and was that before you knew that you were going to be involved?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, how great is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have that in my brain. I prefer the junior version, to be honest. It tells the story succinctly, keeps the songs that are necessary, and doesn't pad it too much. So I'm happy with this version.
And how is it at Urbana High School? Is that working out for you guys to be there? And
it's been great. We were there for High School Musical last year and Mulan the year before, and Tim Broker is going to be designing my set this time, so he's the drama director there. So I figured, why not? He knows the space. He knows what we can do easily there, and we're keeping everything very simple. It's difficult.
No big projections like Broadway or
We might have a few projections. We'll see. I'll have to come see. But no hydraulics and no platforms. You know, we have to be very careful to make sure that everything is accessible for the kids who have some mobility challenges. And so while levels and platforms are great in theater, for this group, not so much. So, you know, keeping everything safe and easy as possible.
How much rehearsal time do you have in the space itself?
A week, less than a week.
Really. Like a tech week?
Yeah, it's a normal tech week.
Right.
We get to move in on a Saturday, and then we open the following Friday.
And that's Friday, September 20th?
Yes.
And so when are the shows? And
and
I think you have two in one day.
No.
You do not?
We've got Friday at 7, Saturday the 21st at 7, Sunday the 22nd at 2.
Okay. And have those historically, when I went, I know there were no empty seats. Do they often sell out?
This one will, I think. I honestly think so. I think it will. So, getting tickets in advance is a good idea.
And how does one do that?
Do that through the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company website. But we just checked, and if you just Google Penguin Project Champaign, that will get you to the cutheaterco.org. But Penguin Project Champaign, Frozen. All of that will.
Or you can
to
come
it.
To the See You at the Show Facebook page
and
website, where we will be properly hyping it up.
Thank you.
And I think there aren't any other shows going on that week. I think there are a few shows that open up the following week, so all theater goers should be going to this and get their tickets early.
It has a big following from obviously the family and friends of the kids who are in the show.
64 kids are involved, so.
Yeah, 66 really, because we have a few floating mentors.
Okay.
and a lot of support for this community. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people come to the show and either say, oh, I want to be a mentor, or I want to be in it, or, you know, it's the kind of thing where it's been so neat to see a lot of our theater kids realizing the value of doing this kind of mentoring.
Is there anything that you need if somebody wants to support the project further this year in the future? Is there set work, or is there any construction help, or what are you doing for your bills?
Monetary donations we can always use. We get some support from different organizations around town, and the Sinai Temple, as you mentioned, people are like, why are you at the Sinai Temple? The Sinai Temple has graciously let us use this space, and we make a donation to the temple, but it's worked out very well.
It's a nice space.
It is.
And I noticed the floor is taped up, so you can then take the same kind of tape to Urbana High School.
Yeah.
They can find their marks on the floor.
Yes. This is the first year that I decided we really need to mark out the stage in here so that they get a better sense of the space.
This is such a good space. If the Sinai Temple is ever needing to make some extra money on the side, they should consider, making this available for other theater groups. It is wonderful.
A rehearsal space seems to be a hot commodity and necessary thing for a lot of groups around Champaign-Urbana.
It is.
What were we talking about before?
We're talking about space to perform in town, and one space to perform in town is the Soto Theater, where you run a very impressive. Would you call it a youth program, or would you not like to pigeonhole yourself
into it? It's a performing arts studio where I will train anyone from age 5 through adult. And the things we often offer the most of are for young people. But I get a lot of inquiries from adults. A lot of adults who say, like, I always wanted to be in theater, and, I have a little time now, and I do classes, I do private coaching. We have an improv class going for adults right now on Thursday nights. That's being taught by Aubrey Wachtelove, Zoo Improv.
The name of your business, I didn't say it, is Class Act Studio.
Class Act, yeah.
It's not Class Act Studio.
That's okay. I mean,
what is your website?
ClassActChampaign.com.
Okay, so, and how long have you been doing that, Jackie?
I got involved as soon as I moved here, so 8 years ago. And then Natalie Ellis, now Montrestelli, who founded it, she got married and moved to Chicago and gifted me her baby. So it's been mine for six years.
So was she the music director at Next Generation when she was here? Is that?
She taught acting, more like drama there.
Okay. I thought there was a tie-in. Yes. I think that's how I first got my son involved with Class Act, was there was a tie-in of some kind with Next Gen, and he was there for a couple of years. And then when you took over, then I know that then I followed it a lot more closely since then. So I forgot that there was a pre-Jackie existence.
There was, yes. And yes, when I got involved, I developed the musical theater side of it. She was doing a lot with improv and young kids, really young ones, and a lot of fairy tale theater. And I came in and started doing more of the musical theater. And we have auditions. We happen to have auditions this Sunday, the 8th. Is this going to run before that?
Yeah, it's going to run tomorrow night.
We are pre-taping. So great.
So
our audition Sunday afternoon. And that's for my more intensive musical theater training program that meets on Sunday afternoons, so ages 7 through 14, and they are placement auditions. They're not for a specific show. We want kids who are interested in training and don't care what the show is. They just want to be part of it. And once we put them into groups, we'll choose material that's going to challenge them, and we have some ideas for sure. Kat Downs is my music director, so we work together. And Allison Radek, who started studying Class Act even before I came there, you know, she was there from the beginning. She assists us for a lot of our classes now, so it's really fun to see my students now getting into high school and still coming and helping out and sharing all they've learned.
Well, there was like Anna and Alina I saw here today. They were also part of that when they were very young too, right?
Yeah. So a number of my students. But yeah, anyone who's interested in these auditions, our groups are called Scene Stealers and Showstoppers, and that's the Sunday programs. And we have other classes for even younger and older, so that would all be on the website.
And you do audition, like you teach them audition techniques and things like that too?
Yeah, auditioning skills, general confidence, and focus a lot on them individually as well as ensemble work, but it's not so much about big sets and costumes and things like that. I was raised in very bare bones, low budget theater programs where we were taught all you need is you, so that's kind of what's been instilled in me, and I'm happy to pass that on to the kiddos.
And you guys have sang at ball games, right?
We've done the national anthem at U of I, and we go around, the older group, the Showstoppers, goes around to a lot of the retirement communities. We try to get them out into the community as much as we can, and a lot of people really like that aspect of it. That's a little bit different, and again, giving back and sharing their talent in a different way, and of course, the folks at Windsor and Clark Lindsay and all those places just love them.
Likes to watch kids perform, I think. Yeah. I went to 9 shows this summer on Broadway, and almost my favorite ones were all the ones that had children involved. Because it's just amazing to see the talent. Like, we got to listen to Madeline Ostover sing just a little while ago.
Yeah.
And, her talent, I could see beforehand, and she just has this natural tone to her that's just, you know, kind of strikes right through you. It's really pretty.
Yes. I'm very excited that she's our Anna. She's been doing this Penguin Project for her third year, but this is the first time that anyone will have actually heard her sing, or that she's had some of the more supporting roles, but she will shine. this is her moment.
It is her year. Right. She said this is her favorite character, and it always helps if you get the character that you like the most, right?
Yeah.
Because Anna and Elsa, those are two quite different characters themselves, so.
Yes.
And Summer, in that scene that she was playing,
Nagli.
Yeah, she was playing Elsa in that scene, and they just seem to be having so much fun together.
Yeah. So Summer plays the young Elsa. So in this version, we've got young Elsa and Anna, and middle Anna and Elsa, who have a little bit of, do you want to build a snowman? And that's something that's added for the junior version. Mm. They don't do that on Broadway. On Broadway, they just have two sets.
So on Broadway, there's... Okay.
Yeah, young and
old. And so you have three sets?
We have three sets, and it's working out great.
And it allows more kids to get involved, right?
Yeah, the two girls who are the middle Anna and Elsa came to the audition day in costume. They had their Anna and Elsa.
I have a feeling that some people are going to come to your show in costume.
I hope so.
I feel like you should have like an extra cookie or something that you give to kids who come dressed as the characters.
Or a parade at the end. Yes. Maybe we need to let them come up on stage at the end or an intermission or something. And I've warned our singers in the show that they may have people singing along in the audience.
Oh, they will definitely be yelling out, "There's Elsa, there's Anna," right? Yeah. They're going to do that, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think maybe a fake snowball fight would be fun. Well, I'm really looking forward to it. And having heard Madeline Ostover sing has me really excited. And I will play a clip of her singing as we wind out the segment. But I'm really looking forward to it. This is going to be the Penguin Project at Urbana High School, September 20th to the 22nd, 3 shows. You can go come to our Facebook page at cothshow.com. penguinproject.com and see you at the show on Facebook, or Google it.
Google Penguin Project Champagne.
Yeah, so the tickets need to be bought through CETC, and it is a great thing about CETC that they have taken on this project. There's nothing like it, maybe anywhere, but there's definitely nothing like it in Champaign, where it is an outreach to a whole different community that doesn't get a chance to do this sort of thing.
Definitely.
Theater's for everyone.
It is. And I'm, I get so choked up. I'm amazed that I'm not crying, because usually when I start talking about it, I get very choked up, and I might just be a little tired from rehearsal. But it's so moving. It's just, there will be no dry eyes, I think.
Yeah. There was so much joy here tonight. That I was so tired. I came back from Houston yesterday. I drove. And so tonight I was just dragging all day, and it just lifted my heart just watching these kids, both the mentors and the artists, right? Because they're giving so much. And I think that's what theater's about, is giving to each other, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you for doing this. And you have your hands in a lot of different elements on the theater scene in this community. We're very lucky to have you. And I love seeing you on stage too. Do you have any plans?
I might be auditioning for something this year. Stay tuned.
Okay. When was the last show you did?
Fun Home. No, Young Frankenstein.
Yes. With your daughter. How cool was that?
Yes.
Before she went off to college.
I know. Of course, my younger one, who's still home, has been a mentor for all 4 years. And she too, says it's just the most meaningful way to do theater.
Yeah. And I imagine, not that it would be about resume puffing, but this would just be something to talk about at colleges, and just any time in a job interview or something, when you've asked what have you done that was meaningful for shaping who you are, and what better story than to mix the art scene with really something that is a selfless act for people who really deserve that. Everybody who's involved, these are people who are not just putting out feel-good Facebook posts for the world, but actually doing something. So thank you again.
You're welcome.
And thanks for joining LaDonna and me on See You at the Show.
All right.
We always love to have you as a guest.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jackie. We also have one of Jackie's stars with us today, Madeline Osterber, a freshman at St. Joe Ogden High School, who's playing Anna in Frozen Junior. And Madeline is going to sing a clip of For the First Time in Forever from Frozen Junior. Take it away, Madeline.
It'll be actual real life people. It'll be totally strange. But why am I so ready for this change? For the first time in forever, there'll be music, there'll be light. For the first time in forever, I could be noticed by someone. And I know it's totally crazy to dream I find romance, but for the first time, at least I've got a chance.
Thank you for joining us on See You at the Show. We'll be back again next week at 5:30 for updated information on all of the coming up shows and auditions in the Champaign-Urbana area. Please follow us on Facebook, as See You at the Show is the page. And we also have web presence at www.seeyouattheshow.com. You can email me at eric@seeyouattheshow.com or message me through the Facebook page if you have.
Okay, and there goes the end of Eric's show. Okay, so I'd like to remind you that you're listening to WEFT Champaign, 90.1 on your FM dial, streaming live at weft.org. This has been The Courier for Thursday. Join us for the WEF Courier every weekday for Democracy Now! At 4, followed by two additional programs of information and analysis. And coming up next is Surfer Billy Freakout, but we've got a couple of things to take care of before we get to that. One is, I'd like to let you know that one of our community partners here at WEFT is Common Ground Food Co-op, and they would like to let you know that food that nourishes you and gives back to your community may be found at Common Ground Food Co-op, which is located in Lincoln Square Mall. Your dollar stays local when you shop co-op. They've been cultivating community and local food since 1974. And then I'd also like to remind you that we're at the tail end of our pledge drive, our fall pledge drive. We started on the 3rd. We're going through this Friday. We're trying to raise $15,000 to help keep your local community radio station alive and on the air, and to help us continue to stream the shows that you've come to enjoy here at WEFT Champaign. These shows you will not hear anywhere else. You may hear some of the syndicated programming somewhere else, but the shows that are put on by air shifters here at WEFT, you know, they're treasures. They are, they're programmed by the people that you hear on the air. No one's telling anyone what to play. So if you value this community resource, please consider donating now during our fall pledge drive. Back in the day, early community radio stations came up with the novel idea of financing independent, commercial-free radio by asking their listeners to all put in a little bit to make the whole thing work. Today we call that crowdsourcing. WE